Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. And the angel of Jehovah said to Hagar, Behold, you are with child and shall bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because Jehovah has heard thine affliction. Ishmael, the son of Abram, by Sarai's Egyptian slave Hagar, represents our ability to perceive truth before regeneration. We see the beginning of this ability in teenage years, though it is not fully operational until the 20s. By the truth, understood rationally, the Lord leads us to unmask evils and falsities and fight against them. Without the truth, there is no regeneration, no charity, no spiritual life. Yet this first rationality is proud, contemptuous, and solitary. If it is to serve our eternal welfare, it must become humble before the word and look to use in society with others. But then rational truth becomes the leading force in the lives of the angels of the spiritual heaven. The Lord makes of Ishmael a great nation and multiplies his seed exceedingly. We can see how important it is to be able to see what is true objectively, whether we like it or not. The truth often hurts, but not facing the truth is even more painful in the end. On the other hand, we also know that people often use truths to hurt and criticize others. In the story of Ishmael, in the spiritual sense, we learn about our own minds, their potential for good and for harm, and how the Lord is leading us to good. Today we will consider how the Lord forms our rational mind, what it is like at the beginning, and how the Lord leads us onward into true rationality. The story of Ishmael's birth illustrates how the Lord develops our rational mind. Abram, who was Ishmael's father, represents the divine love. Love is our very life. Love is what arranges all our experiences into an order and gives them life and meaning. The Lord's divine love, in flowing, is the father of our rational abilities. So, rationality begins in the loving states of infancy. Abram's wife was Sarai. She represents pure spiritual truth that flows in from the Lord. Spiritual truth is joined to good, as Sarai was married to Abram. She stands for truth that looks to use and sees from the love of use. Now, if we were born into the order of our life, the way the Lord first created human beings, we would spontaneously love the neighbor as ourselves. This is truly human nature. We would be born ready to learn all the goods and truths of heavenly life. The divine love and wisdom represented by Abram and Sarai, in flowing from heaven, would give birth in us to the ability to perceive spiritual truths from a young age. Children would quickly catch on to truths about the life of charity as soon as they were taught, as if by an inborn instinct. Even now, we can see some of this perceptiveness with children. We would all take delight in the beauty of truths and eagerly apply them to life. Such rational perception is represented by Isaac, the offspring of Abraham and Sarah. But because of hereditary evil, from birth, the faculties of our mind are bent against truths and goods. Instead of the rational mind being born by perception from within, it has to be built up as if from outside of us. We have to be taught the same things over and over. We have to study and learn them. And our parents have to provide us with discipline until we can exercise self-discipline. For For example, when we're grown up, we have to learn how to be parents. We're not automatically perceptive and patient and wise in our discipline. We need to learn professional ethics, and we need the support of laws. We have to learn how to treat other people fairly, courteously, honestly, kindly, and so forth, because these things don't come naturally to us. So Sarai was barren. Abram and Sarai waited nearly 25 years to have their son Isaac from the time they first came into the land of Canaan. Meanwhile, Sarai brought her handmaid to Abram to obtain children by her. As Hagar was Sarai's slave, any children she bore were Sarai's, according to Hebrew custom. Hagar, Sarai's Egyptian handmaid, represents the natural love of knowing things, or curiosity. Hagar was a servant to Sarai, because all natural things ought to serve spiritual things, as life in this natural world serves as preparation for life in the spiritual world. About the love of learning, the writings say, "There are many affections belonging to the natural man, all dedicated to their uses. But the affection for cognitions and for memory knowledge stands preeminent above all other affections, when it has for its purpose that we may become truly rational, for thus it has good and truth as its purpose." With children, the love of knowing things, together with their innocence, is what enables them to learn and soak up information. As we grow and our minds are formed by deeper and more advanced ideas, the affection for understanding what we are learning and the affection for truth begin to rule. So Hagar, the affection for knowledge, is the mother of Ishmael, the first rational mind. The affection for knowledge forms a matrix or a womb in which the affection for truth can be conceived by the influx of life from the Lord. And Abram went into Hagar, and she conceived. It's a wonderful thing when a person growing up begins to think rationally, to have a grown-up sense of humor, and to carry on an adult conversation. The writings say that what is human begins in the inmost of the rational mind, and from there extends to a person's external life. In the rational mind is our conscience, the principles of life we hold to be true, and the purposes in life that we love. Here is our sense of what an honorable spiritual life is. Here is our hope for an eternal marriage. When our lives are in order, our rational thought governs all our lower thoughts and appetites and bends them to useful, truly human ends. Rationality involves seeing the relationship between the Lord and mankind, and between the eternal spiritual life of heaven and the temporary natural life of this world. No one can be said to be rational merely because he can reason. So we read, "The rational mind is said to receive life, to be in the womb, and to be born, when a person begins to think that the evil and falsity in himself is what contradicts and is opposed to truth and good. And he is still more rational when he wills to remove and subdue this evil and falsity. Unless he can perceive and become sensitive to evil and falsity in himself, he has no rational mind, however much he may imagine that he has." But what is our rational mind like at first? Our first rational states are keenly aware of evil and injustice and of false and inconsistent reasoning, especially in other people. This quality continues to be dominant well into later life. Its chief characteristic is that it judges from truth without good. There is some grasp of truths, but little perception of the uses to be served. Ishmael is described in these words: "He shall be a wild ass man, his hand against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell against the faces of all his brothers." These words describe the character of a person whose rational is interested in truth, but not at the same time in charity. The writings describe this state, as we read in our lesson. Does it sound familiar? He is a morose man, will tolerate nothing, is against all, regards everybody as being wrong, is ready to rebuke, to chastise, and to punish. He has no pity and does not apply or adapt himself to others and study to bend their minds, for he looks at everything from truth and at nothing from good. From knowledge alone, without the life of use, the rational becomes, as here described, resembling a wild ass, morose, pugnacious, and characterized by a parched and dry life, from a love of truth defiled with the love of self. The strength of this rational is that it is hard and unrelenting against evils and falsities. The life of regeneration begins with repentance and self-compulsion. If we can be led to apply this first rational truth to our own lives, it helps us establish good habits. The tendency to regard others' lives and views critically can be turned with regeneration into a careful and wise life of charity. The weakness of the Ishmael rational comes from its lack of perception of use. For example, a teenage boy enjoys his new ability to reason, yet there are many things that he does not perceive from reason alone, because the real love of uses to others is just starting in his life. Our educational system, in a way, slows the growth of true rationality, since we keep young people so long without much opportunity or obligation to serve others. So how does the Lord lead us into real rationality? One of the most important elements in true rationality is a clear idea of the holiness and power of the Word for our own life. Since before regeneration, we do not have a perception of use from the love of it, we must learn to submit the conclusions of our reason to the teachings of the Word. This is why the angel of the Lord said to Hagar, "Return to your mistress and humble yourself under her hands." Gradually, over a lifetime, the Lord leads us to purify our love of truth from selfishness and marry it to a love of the neighbor. The Ishmael characteristics, morose, pugnacious, and solitary, are cast out, and a new quality, the good of charity, takes its place. This is Isaac in the story. When good draws near and implants itself in truth, the truth becomes so different that it can hardly be recognized. We read, "Rational good never fights, no matter how much it is attacked, because it is gentle, long-suffering, and yielding, for its nature is that of love and mercy. But although it does not fight, it nevertheless conquers all. It does not ever think of combat, nor does it glory in victory. It is of this nature because it is divine and is safe of itself. For no evil can attack good. Indeed, it cannot even remain in the sphere where good is." Now, does this mean that we must give up caring about what is true and simply tolerate all things? No. The Lord himself was zealous to restore what was good and true, as when he drove out the money changers. But the Lord can lead us to be firm for what is right without being vindictive or harsh in our defense of the right as we see it. How does the Lord bring about such a complete transformation? How can we grow out of contempt for others, judgmental attitudes, combative and lonely postures, and the other sad Ishmael characteristics. First, we can recognize that going through Ishmael-type states are an inevitable part of our journey to heaven. So we don't need to be too hard on ourselves or on others in these states. Second, we can look for the signs of Ishmael states in ourselves, the need to be right no matter how others may react to our stance, making others wrong, finding lots of fault with them, lack of patience, too much rebuking and chastising, and so forth. If we can simply observe these states with ourselves, that's a great step forward. It may then gradually become easier to be less critical of others once we have observed some of the problems with ourselves. Third, we can keep in mind the description of a truly rational state in which charity leads. If we are really trying to do what is right, we will learn to trust in the Lord and not be afraid or feel that justice depends on our efforts alone. We can practice patience and apply ourselves to gently bending another person's mind rather than criticizing. Finally, the effort to be of use to others in the spirit of charity will allow the Lord to develop our love of use, and hence our insight into what kinds of statements and actions are really productive, and which ones, though right in one sense, are wrong in their effects on others. As with poor Hagar, the Lord has heard our affliction. If we submit ourselves under His hand and trust His guidance in His word, He will make us spiritually into a great nation and multiply both our truths and our love exceedingly. Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.